This is the University Seventh-day Adventist Church in the sunny Orlando, Florida. We are glad that you are listening to our weekly podcast. Our prayer is that you will be blessed and challenged by our message today, and may God lead you in the next step of your growth in Him. Here is our feature sermon.
God has not changed. There's a song by a lady by the name of Linda Randall. It says, "Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone." We talk of faith way up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptation. That's where your faith is really put to the test. You're listening to the song, to the words, because I'm not singing it. But here's the chorus, and it's so comforting. It says, "For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God in the day, when things are going wonderful for you, is still the God in the night." I'm going to put this aside for a while because I don't want it to get in my way. I'm going to be very real with you this morning. I can't fake it, okay? The reason I can't fake it is because life is short. And things are happening within our families and to us that we don't even know. Or you don't tell your brother, you don't tell your sister, you don't tell your husbands, you don't tell your wives. Things are happening to us individually. I call that the invisible me, the self that you can't see, that inner person. Your children are going through things that they can't even tell you, moms and dads. They can't come to you. And I come to you with one message, but I might go somewhere else with it according to how the Holy Spirit leads me. But I want to let you know this, because I'm connected to grief. That's my calling. When I feel hurt, I feel pain, I feel it, I sense it. And sometimes I sense it that it overwhelms me. But I want to tell you this morning to remember this, that the same God in the daytime is the same God in the nighttime. Let us pray. Father, you sent me here. I didn't ask to come here. You said, Lord, that you're going to tell me what to say. I know I wrote some things down, Lord, but you're taking me other places. I don't know. So, Father, touch my tongue. Anoint it with your Holy Spirit. Touch my mind, Lord. Open it, Lord. Give me the words that I need to say. And let me not say anything, Lord, that you didn't put there. Put away self, Lord. I've taken my shoe off. I know I'm standing on holy ground. So, Lord, use me as you feel fit. May your children, God, accept what you have to say. May you open their hearts and their minds, Lord, and let them hear your words. Let them feel you. Let them know that you are near, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask this, and I tell you thanks, Lord, and may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see God, and we know, you hear God, and you know, most people think that when you say God, you're thinking about God as the judge. We think of him like that. He's the one who is going to punish us. He's the one that is going to, you know, make sure we're not doing right. And so he's the just one. He's the one that is going to fix it. And whatever you do, like mom and dad, children, we're children, and we're afraid to run to mom when we get ourselves in trouble. And so that's how some people see God. They don't see him in a loving way. They see Jesus in a loving way, because Jesus is the one who went on the cross. Jesus, he's the one who died for our sins, right? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay? But then we see God in another light. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. God loves you. God is love, and his love never changes. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For it's because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." God is always forgiving. He's always forgiving us. Daniel 9:9 says, "The Lord our God, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. God is good. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Psalms 136 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Amen. God has not changed. God has not changed. Actually says, Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uriah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his robe, the train, filled the temple." Now, to make sure you understand this, I want it to go get into your head that even though you may see the times changing, things are happening differently. You getting it? Things are happening so differently that you're wondering, where is God? Are you wondering? What is he doing? Because guess what you need? Justice, right? You need him to come and right now, because things aren't going right. And if you had that power, you'd fix it, right? You would fix it like yesterday. But it says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And Mordecai says, Mordecai 6:3, "I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, he sons of Jacob are not consumed." The sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you're wondering, where is she going with this? Get with it, Carol, get with it. Where is she going with this? Because God has not changed. So I want you to take your Bibles out. You have your Bibles with you? And I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis 37. I have 10 minutes. Sorry. Holy Spirit, help me. Genesis 37 and verse 1. We're going to start from the beginning. I don't have my Bible, but I think I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me. Thank you. Thank you so much. So this morning, the scripture lesson was read, and they talk about marriages. Marriage, right? And I said, wait a minute, I didn't give that scripture lesson. I think they have the wrong one, because I'm not going to talk about wedding husbands and wives. I'm not going to do that. I'm like, Lord, what happened? So I went and checked my phone, because I know I text Pastor Alex. And what I saw was the same scripture lesson that you guys put in the bulletin. It's the same one. So he didn't make a mistake. Did I make a mistake? I don't know, but I had 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. But it touched on marriage. And I want to bring to you, I want you to see God's love through this story of Joseph. And you know Joseph. I want you to talk back to me, okay? You know Joseph. Joseph's father was who? Jacob. And Jacob had how many sons? 12 sons. And Jacob, what's another name for Jacob? The Lord name him what? Israel. And you know that Joseph's mother, who was Joseph's mother? Rachel. And Rachel had how many children? 2. And who was the first one? You guys are smart. You're bright. You're studying your Bible. But then, did Jacob had more wives, other wives? Yes, he had other wives. Well, and the first wife he had, was it the one that he really loved and wanted to marry? No. Sometimes that happens in our relationship. We have divorce, we have remarry, we have children here, children there. We call them blended families. And these things are happening. Mom and dad didn't stay together, and now we have a divorce, and now dad is remarried, and there are more children. And that's happening all around. And we used to think that it never happened in our churches. We didn't divorce? No. But now we're having it. And the more the family is broken, is the more trouble that we have, the more complication. Things are really getting messier and messier. And that's what happened in this family. Too many women in the kitchen. And you know how we are when it comes to doing our own recipe, right? Because our recipe is up here, the taste bud in here, right? So Rachel had a son. And what's that son? What was that son's name? Two sons. The first one, Joseph. And he's the one we're going to talk about today. So all the other sons were much older. And as we know that Rachel was the woman that Jacob loved. He wanted her so much that he went and worked another 7 years. For those who don't know the story, you're catching on, and I advise you to go read it if you haven't. Because there's so many stories in the Bible that relates to life that you can understand. Instead of watching television, guys, kids, you go read the Bible. There are all sorts of stories in there. Love story. You know, if you love scary stories, in there too. There's a lot of stories in there, okay? So here we go, and Joseph is now the first child for the woman that he loved so much. So of course, he's getting special treatment. That's what we all think, right? He's getting special treatment. But I'm wondering why Daddy decided to do that. Was it because the other kids were already bad, disobedient, just wouldn't do the will of God? If you follow the story, they didn't even listen to Daddy most of the time. And then here comes Joseph, who I think God had a special purpose for. And so he's watching his older brothers, and he's seeing that they're not doing right. He's seeing that they are not following God, and they're not following Daddy. And of course, when they make a boo-boo, guess what Joseph did? He what? He told on them. But look at it. They call him a tattletale. But really, was he a tattletale? I think in his heart, he wanted his brothers to do right, to love each other. I'm sure you want that in your family, right? All of your sisters and your brothers, are you all right? Listen to this. I'm going to be honest with you. You hear I'm a chaplain. Most times, ask Chaplain Wanda, it's in the hospital when mom or dad is dying that the family, they either come together or they're. And the most beautiful family, the most wonderful family can cause, there's so much chaos at the bedside. Who didn't come to mama? Who didn't stay with mama when she was going? All these things. Okay? So I'm just putting it down to you. Don't think that your family is better than this family. What I want you to do is to look into yourself as I talk to you about this family. So what happened? They did not like Joseph. And every time they see Joseph coming, they just hated him the more. Look at Daddy's favorite. Why is he Daddy's favorite? Because he listened to Daddy. Because he obeyed God's word. He did what was right. And I'm not going to do that. So immediately there's a lot of things just start coming up in the heart. What about your church? Do you love everybody in here? Oh, you're so wonderful people. I love you guys. You ever see a church sister coming, like Sister May's coming? Say Sister Wanda, okay? Sister Wanda, I can use you because I know we're good. Sister Wanda is coming. Oh, dear Sister Wanda, let's use the back door. Let's hurry up. We have something to do. You see what I'm saying? Maybe it's not hate, but that could develop into hate and resentment. Or if somebody's always on the podium singing, or maybe they have a different talent from you. We all get a little jealousy. All of us. I do. You. you get a little jealousy as brothers and sisters. If daddy's doing one thing or mommy's doing something for my sister and not doing it for me, wouldn't you feel a little jealous? Speak the truth. Tell the truth, right? Exactly. Oh, she went and visit my sister 10 times. She only came to my house once. Well, let's see that. Huh? It's within us. Let me tell you how I deal with my jealousy, since you think I'm picking on you. When I feel jealous of someone, I start praying for that person. I learned this, because if not, it will kill me. I start praying, God, please, Lord, bless this person. Lord, let this person rise. Let this person, Lord, bless her family. Bless. I just start blessing on that person. Before I know it, I start loving that person. Before you know it, I'm not jealous anymore. And guess what? You know what the benefit with that I noticed? God start blessing me too. Oh my goodness. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. That's how I deal with jealousy. But not everybody does that. And it's in your heart, and God will not have it. This is a personal thing. God will not have it. He has not changed. And so they hated Joseph. And they see him coming, and they hated him the more. But you know what? Joseph had gifts. He had several gifts, but one of the gifts he had was to dream. He was a dreamer. He would dream, and whatever he dreamt would come true, would come to pass. You get me? There are people in here that has gifts. Singing, maybe you're a dreamer too. I don't know what your gifts are. And you're the only one with that gift. Don't stifle your gift. Don't stifle your gift because you're afraid somebody else going to get jealous or somebody else might say something. God has something in you that is ready to give birth. And if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. And not only that, if you don't use it, you're not honoring God. And you sin. Because God gave it to you for a reason. You remember the 10 virgins? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. They all had oil. Some filled it, some didn't. And then you want to come take my gift? Guess what? You know, somebody told me I talk so much. When I was a little girl, I was the talker in my family. And my mom just went and got a plaque. And it says, Lord, this is what she has right at the door. And it just came to my thought a while ago, and I need to tell you this. It says, she came in and she said, this plaque is for you. And she put it up on the top of the door, like how you see the exit. And it says, Lord, help me to keep my big mouth shut. You laugh at it, but it was painful. Because it's not like I was talking foolishness. Just I love to talk. I love people, and I just love to talk. And, you know, I could have shut my mouth just because my mama said, keep your big mouth shut. But look where I'm at. I'm talking to you. That's a gift. Look at Joseph. He had a dream. The first dream he dreamt, they were looking after sheaves. They were binding them up. And then all of a sudden, he stood up. And then the others just, they were bowing down to him. And then he went again and he dreamt something else. He dreamt about the moon and the sun and all the stars. He said 11 stars bowed down to him. And guess what his brothers did? They hated him the more. The Bible said that envy was in their heart towards him. Plus, my husband said, don't forget the coat. I remember, honey. You know, he was such a good kid. Guess what? Daddy made him a special coat of many colors. And they were all jealous. They hated him even more. And I think about us as a church and as a family, as individual. You see somebody up here or down there or with you, you know, in the church. How is that with you? When pastor says, well, Sister Wanda, thank you for, you know, doing such a good job. You got 20 souls in the church today. You are such an awesome saint. How do you feel about that? Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's in your family. Mommy always loved the boys and not the girls. I have a family that says, And I'm watching it now, okay? These are grown people. The children are now grown. Mama is an old lady in a chair, in a wheelchair. And the boys are off. They're married. They have their wives and they live different places. And the daughters are the one taking care of her. You know what? She's still, these are Christian women. You know what mom still called the daughters today? You sluts. Married decent women. But the sons? Oh, my darling, my prince. They can do no wrong. But the girls? Oh, wow. She throw her clothes down on the ground and said, pick it up. That's how she talks to these grown women in their 50s and 60s. And guess what? They're all in the church. You should see when they come to church. Everybody's all decked out like you guys, like me. But there's something going on in the family. And you don't know it. There's so much hurt. There's so much pain. Did you know that in our church there's abuse going on? Listen. What? Ooh. Pastors abusing their wives. Elders abusing their wives. What about wives abusing their husbands? Did you know that's going on in our church? Did you know that? The most loving couple could be only loving when they're with you guys, when they see you. But, and I'm not saying, oh gosh, my husband, I love him so much. We always lovey-dovey, okay? But you could think that when I say this, watch out. So don't go judging anybody here because they're so close and loving. But I'm just telling you, sometimes those things are happening. Watch out for your sisters and your brothers when they can't come to church because they fell. I don't know why I'm saying this, but this wasn't in here, okay? I'm just speaking as God is allowing me. And some of you men, you're just so rigid because you think Christianity is something that is a checkoff list. And God says. Even our Ten Commandments is like, it's a checklist. God says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, he's not keep my commandment because I say so. He said, if you love me, because I love my husband, I prepare food for him before he gets home from work. Honey, even though I'm tired because I'm coming from work too, but then he'll do something else for me when he comes home from work. My body was in pain last night, and he rubbed me down with some, what kind of thing that you use? I've never, my feet, you know, I was so tired, and he rubbed me down, and I fell asleep. I didn't even know when I fell asleep. But that's what we do for each other, and I know he was tired, but I was saying I'm in ache, and he listened to me, he heard me, and he had compassion. That's what you call compassion. And he went the extra mile. And that's what we do for each other. That's what we do for each other. So here I'm talking about the same thing we read about today, which was an accident, right? But God, does God have accidents like that? Things happen. But let's go, because you know the story. So because of this hatred, this resentment, this envy, this oh my goodness, this craziness in this family, they decided to do something about it. And what do you think they did about it? You know? Excuse me, what's your name? Yeah, Ruby? Ruby. So Ruby, let me tell you what they did about it. Dad said to Joseph, Joseph, go check on your brothers for me. Because they're gone all the way off maybe to Kissimmee, okay? And they're gone over there with the cows, with the animals, the sheep. Just go check on them for me to see if they're okay. Wasn't that a loving father? And come back and give me word because I'm concerned about them. He loves these other boys. He didn't only love Joseph, but they couldn't see that. That's another thing. Sometimes you think that mama loves one child more because she's always talking to them. I have two daughters, the older one, the younger one. The older one, I have to... It's not that she's, how do I say this? I'm a little closer to her in some ways because she's up there in Philly. But the other one is here. I wake up in the morning and I can touch her and kiss her and say hi. But the other one is way up there. I'm concerned about her. So I call her more. I chat 2, 3, 4 times. Daddy called me and, oh, we have a 3-way because she's always on the phone with me. And that's how we do it. It's not that I love Marisol more than I love Monique, but she, to me, needs that because she's lonely up there. So mommy is drawn to the child that is more needy. You see what I'm saying? You hear, Ruby? That's how it is. You're drawn to the child that's more needy. It's not that they don't love you. If they didn't love you, or anybody, I'm not picking on you, Ruby. If they didn't love you, they wouldn't buy pretty clothes for you and dress you nicely to come to church or wherever. Or maybe somebody said, oh yeah, they're just dressing me up because they want to show off in church, but watch what happens at home. Now that's another story. And that happens. But this family, gosh, look at the time, Lord, help me. So here we go. And here is Joseph going, being obedient to daddy. And he went. And they saw him coming from afar off. And oh my goodness, they said, watch this tattletale, this good for nothing, this everything coming at me, coming at us. And listen, all of them, not one, not all of them wanted to do something to him. Even Reuben, even though he said, oh, he didn't want to, just put him in the pit. He came up with the idea. But they all wanted to do something. Reuben is the eldest. Why couldn't he have done something different? Why? He was in it too. Putting him in the pit was just as bad. Why would you put your brother in the pit? Why would you wish the worst thing for your brother or your sister? Why? Think about it. Think about it. Do you wish bad things for your brother and your sister? I've heard it so many times. I've seen it done to me. You understand me? This is something you got to think about. And this is an individual thing. Do you love your brother, your biological brother, your biological sister, if you have one? Do you love the members in your church? Do you make their lives miserable when they get here by showing off and telling them what you have? I have, listen, you know my church, but you don't know the name. I'll be talking to two elderly, and one is saying, I don't have any money to bury me. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. And the other one say, you don't have no money? Oh, my son, they took care of that already. And my daughter, and I have. And the poor other lady just shut up. It was that kind? You know many of us do it? Check it out. We are always saying what we have accomplished and what we are doing, and we're trying to have one over the other. We do that all the time. It may not be that. Maybe something else. Always competing against each other. And you know that husbands and wives do it too? Husband and wives compete against each other. But the thing is, I'm not going to wear you out. They did all this to Joseph. They put him in the pit. And then later on, it so happened that they sold him to complete strangers. Sold their brother. This family, Israel, this family, they sold him to complete stranger. It's like at the end of a death or you know, mama have land down there. Mommy have land in Jamaica. We have lots of land in Jamaica. I'm talking about me. And because I see all this trouble, grandma, grandpa died and left all this land. And because I see all the trouble that's happening, I backed out. I said, take it. I just want a relationship. I don't want it. It hurts me that they had to be going on like that over land. You know what I'm saying? And I said, "Mom, Papa and Mama, that's my grandparents, they died and they left it. And all of you going to die and leave it. But one thing we want to make sure, because we didn't have a problem before Mama and Papa died. We're one big happy family until Mama and Papa die, and now here we are, problem over land. Some of us not even going back to Jamaica to live. Sell it. Do something with the money. And that's, you have the rift going on. It's still going on. And I said, I don't want to hear. Your brothers and sisters. Now the grandchildren are in it. And it's going to go on and on. You know that, right? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to live in one house, and God keep it over our head. You see what I'm saying? It may be something else in your family. Maybe it's not house. Maybe it's who's going to take care of mom or who's not going to take care of mom. Or mom didn't do anything for me. Why should I take care of her? And maybe I'm keeping mom because I can get something because she has her social security coming in. I mean, it goes on. If I tell you some stories, you would wonder if we could tell you some stories. And you said, oh my goodness. You think you're going as a chaplain, you're going to help the sick physically. They're going through things physically. But when you go in there, it's mentally. It's things that's bothering people that they didn't get rid of. It's the rape that happened in the house. And everybody knows about it within the house. And now I'm 78 years old and nobody knew about it, chaplain. But I have to tell you what happened to me when I was 10. In the house, in a Christian household, because my father was a pastor. These things go on. We're all in it. We're a family, but we're all in it. And we all have to support each other. I think they should have, just as how they have pastors, they should have mental health workers in the church. Every church should have two or three mental health workers here. I really mean it. And a social worker, don't you think? Because we need help. The thing is, the church is here and people are coming in and they're coming in with all sort of problems, joining us. Because guess what? God is here. They're reaching to God and they're asking, God, have you changed? Have you changed, Lord? But he has not changed. God has not changed. And the thing is, I'm going to finish now because I know time is going and I'm going to finish now. It so happened that Joseph, after he was sold and he went through all the... You got to read your Bible. You have to catch up if you don't remember how the story goes. Because I can't finish it here. It'll take me an hour. And you don't want to stay here another hour. So, go read the story. But bad things happened to Joseph along the way. And they said at the age of 37, he was 17. When all these things, you heard of him first. He was born, yes, but then 17 is when you realize what was going on. And at the age of 37, the dreams that he had came to pass. The dream. Guys, your dream can come to pass. Isn't that awesome? God put them in your head and in your body, in your spirit for a reason. And some of us, we have killed our dream. You think God killed it? No, you killed your dream. You killed your dream. You killed your dream. So his dream, it came to pass. And that dream that God, that his father told him, oh, you think your mama and your papa gonna bow down to you? What you talking about? He kept it in his heart. But look, you remember about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him? It so happened that Joseph became the first in command next to Pharaoh. God gave him the wisdom to organize the biggest and best food storage ever in the world. Because I've never seen, America can't come close. In fact, it was so good that all the neighboring cities had to come to him for food during the years of famine. His dream became a reality as he saw his brothers. Go read the story, Ruby. His brothers came when he became governor or commander. I mean, he was next to Pharaoh. He was like king, next to the king. That's how high he went up. And his brothers, all 11 of them, hallelujah, came bowing. Hallelujah. Oof. Guess what happened next? Then, this is what happened. He was able to provide for his entire family and reunited with his father. His entire family. I'm not talking his 11 brothers. But their children, 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 all of this. He was able to take care of all of them. And I'm sure when daddy came, because daddy thought he was dead. You can imagine the grief that he had. You remember he went into sackcloth and ashes crying for his son. And now to find out that my son is alive. Hallelujah. Some of us who have lost loved ones, can you imagine when we get to heaven and we see our loved ones? But here is Jacob, and I'm sure he bowed down too. And he remembered what Joseph dreamt in his heart. And yes, all of this happened because God has placed such a love in Joseph's heart. He forgave. If Joseph didn't forgive, do you think this would happen? If Joseph didn't have God in his heart, do you think this would happen? So what do we do as Christians, children of God? We forgive. And that's how God is doing for us. God is watching over us. God is protecting us. Even in your problem, even when your money run out, God is saying, I'm training you. Because that's what Joseph did. Joseph went through a training to become where he is. He had to go in, and I'm sure that hate came in his heart towards his brother. How could you have done this to me? You understand? How? Anybody ever do you something, even at work, and it's so bad, and you said, I have love in my heart for this person. How could he have done this to me? You have wife and husbands. Things going on out there, and she doesn't even know it. How could he have done this to me? How can my boyfriend do this to me? All these things that we are all going through, whatever your situation is, God is training you and purifying you, and it's going to come out for your good and for his glory. All I'm saying, hang on, because he has not changed.